That's been the theme over the last couple of weeks. You know, like a white elephant gift exchange, you've been involved in that sometimes where you don't really have, it's not really a gift, you don't like it, so you exchange it for something else. Well, that's been our theme for these Sundays leading up to Christmas, and tonight you're going to have an opportunity to exchange your trouble for peace. Talk about trouble. I was wondering what kind of illustration I could open up with, but then the Lord seemed to have taken care of that. I had a week, 2 weeks ago. You talk about trouble. I'll give you the story, the Reader's Digest version. I had a standby generator that I bought about 2 years ago from Menards, and had it installed. But we really haven't had a blackout until 2 weeks ago. The truck, about a half mile from my house, plowed into a couple of poles. Place went out, dark, from about 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock. That baby kicked on. I had my remote. I didn't miss a play. It was phenomenal. People were calling me going, "Hey, what's going on? You got lights. We're coming over for dinner." No, you're not. It was phenomenal until we went to bed. It was a Saturday night. I got to get ready for church. 9:30, we go to bed. 1 o'clock in the morning. Wah, wah, wah. All my carbon monoxide alarms going nuts. The ones in the basement, the ones in the on top. We could have slept our way to Jesus. I'm telling you, they saved us. So 1 o'clock in the morning, my son was there. Judy was there. I said, "Listen, Drew, we got to get out of here." So we got to go to a hotel. So I go to the mall, and I go into the Hampton Inn. I go up to the desk. I go to the ladies there. I go, "Listen, I need a room for about 7 hours, and it's not because of what you're thinking right now. I see your face." She smiles. She looks at my wife. My wife's smiling. I said, "Stop." "I just need a room for just to get some sleep." So we got some sleep. We got back to the house. The alarms weren't going. We aired it out. Call the guy. The electrician comes over. He said, "We didn't realize this. Put the unit right next to a vent, an air vent, purification vent. Goes through my whole house. So we got to move it." So Tuesday works on it. Works on the panel, the circuit panel. Moves it out 8 feet. We're good to go, right? Wednesday, I get home from a day here at the church. 4:30, open my door. Propane gas, like a wall. The place was ready to blow. One of the valves wasn't working. That was Wednesday. Supposedly they fix it. Friday, I go in the basement, water all over my basement. Yeah, you talk about trouble. But they came, they fixed it, I'm at peace. I don't really get angry. I tell you the only thing I get angry at, I get angry when people text during a sermon. That's really the only thing I get angry at. I know what you're doing. You're not taking notes. I saw this year. I couldn't believe it in May. You may have seen this in the paper. Actually, there was a couple in Texas, I think, and the guy took some gal out for a movie, took her to a movie, and she was texting the whole time in the movie. He got so ticked off. He demanded that she give him the money back for the movie, and she refused to do it. You know what he did? He sued her. He did. It was in the Post-Crescent, $17.31, and she countersues him for hassling her. So here they are in court over texting over a movie. Just to be clear, texting during a movie is not a crime. Texting during church, also not a crime. It's a sin. Makes Jesus really, really mad. So don't do it. Okay, let's get to the Christmas story here. And today I'm going to give you an opportunity to exchange trouble for peace. Now, there are lots of different people, right, in the Christmas story. You have a young couple. You have a carpenter named Joseph. You have a young bride named Mary. You have Herod, very jealous king. We've seen that. The innkeeper, there's no room. The wise men coming from the east bringing gifts. You have angels announcing the birth, And then you have, really, my favorite group, the shepherds. The shepherds. That's what I want to talk to you about today. The shepherds are going to exchange their trouble for peace. Let's pick up the story, Luke chapter 2. These are just ordinary people. Ordinary people. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Now listen, when the Savior comes into the world, you think about this. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Jesus is born in virtual obscurity. The Romans don't know about it. The inhabitants of Jerusalem don't know about it. And even the people of Bethlehem, listen, it's just another cry they're hearing from a baby being born in Bethlehem. That's all. Only Joseph and Mary know. Unless you saw the movie The Star that's out now, then the animals knew. But other than that, Joseph, Mary, the animals, that's it. But then in verse 8, everything changes because God makes the announcement. The greatest event in the story of redemption up to this point is about to be made. And who gets told of this divine announcement? Shepherds. A bunch of shepherd guys in the field, blue collar, working the night shift. That's who gets told the message. And don't romanticize this. Living out in the fields, not a happy time. Tough work. Bethlehem is only about walking distance, about 25, 30 miles. Walking, about 2 hours it would take you. About 2 hours to walk from Jerusalem, the city, the capital city there, to Bethlehem. So what was Bethlehem's purpose? Listen, thousands of people during the holidays, the Jewish holidays, they go to Jerusalem. What do they have to have carrying with them? A sacrifice. Got to have an animal sacrifice. Where are they going to get those lambs from? Where are they going to get the sheep from? Bethlehem. No retirement plans for the Bethlehem sheep. They're going to be used at the temple. It's hot, scorching hot during the day. At night, it's cold, trying to take care of these sheep and the wind and the rain, not to mention the wild animals. Now, these shepherds, they got no skill. They got no special talent, certainly no theological training to know the significance of the moment. They're just ordinary people. And yet, when the moment, the grand moment, the divine moment, the greatest announcement in the history of the world is about to be made, God declares it to people on the bottom of the totem pole. Did you notice what the verse said? Did you notice what it said? How this announcement is communicated to them? Let me remind you what it says. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. To you. Not the wealthy, not the royalty. Not the important people of the world. To you, ordinary people. My wife and I are Disney nuts. We've always been Disney nuts. And now we love it. We go without kids. Oh, my word. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful without kids. And it goes way back for me. I had an aunt and uncle that lived in California, and I used to go visit them when I was a kid and when I was a teenager. And so I started out in Disneyland in California. I would go there. And one of my favorite rides, they don't have it anymore, was Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Some of you who are older remember that. They had a version, by the way, at Disney World, closed in 1998, and people actually picketed Disney World to protest its closing. Part of the reason is they replaced it with the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Yeah. But this ride, even though it was a little hokey ride, what made this ride so great, it was mostly in the dark, and you were on a passenger. It was kind of a runaway car, like the Keystone Cops. It would go all over the place, and there were near crashes. You'd be racing towards a wall, and all of a sudden, the wall would open. You're going to blast through a haystack, and all of a sudden, no, it's a door. And one hazard after another, it looked like you were going to crash, but you didn't crash. Ended up being a door. You know, life is like that. I walk alongside a lot of people in this job. Things are going along really great. And sometimes there's all kinds of hazards that come their way. Financial hazards, relationship hazards, emotional hazards. Things pop up. Here's the point. God knows those are going to happen. And he knows the path to get through it. He knows the way out of trouble. He knows the doors that you don't even know about. You need a guide. You need someone you can trust, who cares about you, who knows everything about you. Someone that doesn't want you to crash. That would be God. And the announcement at Christmas is that God sends a Savior to the world because he cares for you. Ordinary people, just like you and me. Well, what's their response? How do they respond? I'll tell you how they respond, almost like a neon light. This is trouble. Trouble. It says they're terrified. Another version says they're sore afraid, very terrified. In fact, you know, Old Testament was written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. The Greek word that's used there in the New Testament is the word phobos. You know what we get from phobos? Phobia. The word actually means to fly away, to dread something so much that you want to run away, you want to fly away. The shepherds feel like that. That they're in trouble. They need to get out of there. Have you been there? Have you faced trouble so much you just want to run? By the way, that is a very natural reaction to a holy encounter. Let me show you something here from Isaiah. Isaiah had a vision from heaven. It was in the year of King Uzziah, the King Uzziah died, that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Then I said, it's all over. I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. When Isaiah has a vision of heaven, he cries out, it's over. It's over. I'm doomed. I'm ruined. Trouble. Question, what kind of trouble do people face today in their lives? What kind of trouble makes them want to run away? Well, we've talked about some of them, financial issues, health issues. Maybe you get a visit, you go visit the doctor, you get news you never intended. Certainly relationships, marriage, kids. Where's your trouble coming from right now? The truth is, that's the truth. This is the truth. Sometimes you bring it on. Let's be honest. Sometimes we can't blame anybody but ourselves. In fact, I've found that most of the time we go through problems or pressures or difficulties, somehow it can be traced to our disobedience. That's the truth. It's the number one cause. It's not like God has to judge us of anything. We cause it. It's like lying. What's in the paper these days? Lying is catching up with people, covering things up for years and years and years. When my kids were small, that was like this is the bad sin. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible that says the seven sins God hates. Twice it's mentioned lying. So we used to bang this home with our kids. Listen, you lie, That destroys the foundation of any relationship, which is trust. I remember one of our kids, I caught him in an obvious lie, and he was denying it. I remember what he asked me. He said, "Dad, you don't think I would lie, do you?" I said, "Yes, I do." Because quite honestly, I have stretched the truth. I lie. Your mother lies for sure. Oh, come on. She does. Every time I'll say to my wife, "Listen," I say, "What's wrong? I know something's wrong." "Nothing." That's a lie. "No, tell me, what's wrong?" "Nothing." That's another lie. Look, when you don't do what God tells you to do, here's a news flash. You're going to get in trouble. When I ignore what God tells me to do, when I ignore what He wants me to do, it causes trouble in my life. But I also know there are times when you're doing the right thing. There are times you're obeying what God tells you to do. You're listening to His voice. You're doing what the book says, and still trouble comes. The storms come. This is the great lesson of Job. Job does nothing to deserve the trouble he's in, but over a period of days, not weeks or months, days, he loses his entire family. So he says this in Job 19, "God has blocked my way so I cannot even move. He has plunged my path into darkness." Job finds himself in trouble through no fault of his own. The shepherds find themselves in trouble. They're afraid. So what do? They do the exchange. They do the exchange. Luke chapter 2, verse 13. "Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to those whom God has pleased.' When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds and everyone what had happened, they told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them." What do the shepherds do? What do they do? Let's break it down. Two things. That's what they do. Number one, they believe what the angels told them. They believe the angels' announcement. That's called faith. Faith. Two, they run to Jesus. That's what they do. They believe and they run to Jesus. And don't miss, again, the end of verse 14. Preachers leave it out. Christmas songs leave it out. Jesus does not bring peace to the whole world. Not according to that text. What does Jesus bring peace to? It says, to whom his favor rests. Another version, to whom God is pleased. Pastor, how can I please God? The Bible tells you. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Translation, you please God not by doing. That's what most of us think. Oh, I got to do more good things and He'll be pleased with me. No. That's not what the Bible says. It says you please God most by trusting and seeking. Let me repeat that. You please God most by trusting and seeking. Some of you are thinking here, Pastor Dennis, I don't have any faith. I have no faith. Oh, yes, you do. You got more faith than you realize. Every human being, including atheists, have faith. Everybody has faith. The difference is who or what you're putting your faith in. Listen, when you came here, when you sat down, that's this chair you're sitting in right now, you had faith, it would hold you up. For some of you, that was a great act of faith. A little too much Christmas cookies. When you get on a plane, you have faith, this guy's going to land this thing. When you go to your job, you have faith, I'm going to get a paycheck for the work I've done. You use faith every day of your life, you can't live without faith. We're not talking about faith or not. We're talking about who you put your faith in. You put your faith in the wrong thing, you're going to be disappointed. I'm here to tell you, you put your faith in God, He delivers. He delivers 100% of the time. Not the way you think He should deliver, but God keeps 100% of His promises. You say to me, Pastor, I have tried religion. It doesn't work. It's not enough. I agree. Religion is not enough. But God is not offering you religion here today. What He does is Christmas. Is He offers you His Son. He offers you a relationship with His Son. So what do you have to do? You follow what the shepherds did. You believe, and you run to Jesus. Psalm 34, verse 17, the Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help. He rescues them from what? What's that word? All their troubles. Not some, all of their troubles. When? When they called to Him for help. You got to trust Him. You got to run to Him. And I'll tell you what happens. The more you do that, the more you simply trust, you believe, and you run to Him. You believe and you run to Him. Let me tell you what happens. There comes a point where you realize, you know what? I can't do this halfway anymore. I have to fully put my trust in Jesus for everything in my life. And when a person does that, wow, now you receive Holy Spirit power. And He begins to change you from the inside out. You even begin to talk to other people about Him, and you become a worshiper just like them. But it all starts with faith. Listen, Jesus doesn't promise you that if you trust Him and you run to Him, everything immediately is going to go away. All your trouble will go away. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say if you become a believer, everyone will like you. He doesn't say if you find a good enough church, all the people in it will be emotionally healthy. Clearly not. Look around you right now. What Jesus does say is this. Come to Me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. You see what's in that verse? An offer for an exchange. Here's what Jesus is saying. How about we do an exchange? You give Me your burdens. You give Me your trouble, and I will give you rest, peace, real peace. Last verse, Jesus' words. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be afraid.